Season 1, Episode 10. Hey there, fellow youth worker. Today I'm going to be talking about our third developmental outcome, mastery and future. Get ready to hear why young people need to develop this outcome and how it makes a difference in their life. Have you ever felt that we are losing young people to the world around them and that they have already chosen to walk away from Jesus without even knowing him? And did you know that all young people are at risk for something? That's why I want to welcome you to the Jesus is My Hashtag podcast, where positive youth development and youth ministry intersect. I'm your host, Deb Schroeder. Join me weekly for encouragement, resources, and strategies to assist you in helping young people make Jesus their hashtag. I am so glad that you're here with me today. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to some of the other episodes. I define what positive youth development is. I talk about how positive youth development and youth ministry intersect. And I also have been doing a foundational piece around what are developmental outcomes that all young people need. Today, we are back at that youth development construction site. In the past two episodes, I have talked about safety and structure as well as self-worth. We know young people need to be safe and have a sense that their world is somewhat predictable. And we also know that young people need to see themselves as a good person that can contribute to those around them. So how are we going to add to our knowledge today? We are going to grab mastery and future out of our youth development toolbox and get to work. Mastery and future is the perception that one is, quote unquote, making it and will succeed in the future. Let's break that definition down a little more. What does it mean to, quote unquote, make it? Making it most simply means that a person is able to succeed, to complete tasks, and to get things that they want in life. You'll notice part of that definition is about helping young people succeed, and here's the challenge with that. We all define success differently. For some young people, that may mean getting a college education. For others, it may mean having money to pay for food or a place to live. And still for others, it may mean having a relationship with someone that truly loves them. And society, peers, social media all seek to help define what that success looks like for young people. And even you and I as adults, we define success differently. But regardless of how a young person defines success, they must all develop this sense that they are succeeding right where they are and that they are going to be able to continue to succeed in the future. It is important to focus on the here and now, because if we only look ahead, we are missing moments to build skills, knowledge, and abilities. And throughout adolescence, young people are developing and refining different skills that make a difference in their success today and tomorrow. So what does this look like in the here and now for young people to have this sense of mastery? Oftentimes, we look at academics for teens and evaluate how they are doing based on grades and class participation. I firmly believe that youth need to be growing academically, and we need to help them see the importance of education. But we also have to be focusing on additional skills that they can be building that matter both within and outside of the classroom. For example, let's say that there's a young person that's great at working with their hands and can build and create things. This skill can even carry over into their ability to build things within a video game. They have this ability, this knack, to see how things should and could come together. We help this young person continue to build this skill by creating opportunities to put it into practice. Maybe you have something at your church that you need help putting together. Or maybe there's a community opportunity to serve where this skill could be used. Our job is to help young people find these opportunities and participate with them to help them continue to build the skills. And if there isn't a specific opportunity that we can find, we need to be working to create one. If this young person is able to continue to build that skill, it will promote confidence. And that confidence ties into their self-worth, which ties into them feeling like they are succeeding. And that's mastery. That's what that looks like. And we encourage young people to see how what skills they are developing now, how they use them, how those skills can help them to be more successful in the future. Another example would be working with a young person that has a strong compassion and empathy for others. That's not a skill that we just open a book to teach. No, we have to give youth the chance to serve others to develop empathy and compassion. I've seen this with my own daughter. She is currently an eighth grader, and she is involved in a group called Teens for Tots. This group raises money to purchase gifts for children in need. This school year, I have seen her grow her skills in design, planning, organization, and finances as they have created different fundraising opportunities. These skills have grown because the teacher involved with this group created an opportunity and she has given the teens genuine roles throughout it all. She doesn't do everything for them. No, she is helping them to grow and master skills throughout their activities. And I can come alongside this teacher to encourage my own child to help her identify what skills she is learning and how what she has learned is important for her future. I can help connect those dots. In fact, connecting those dots is a key part of helping young people develop mastery in future. It's helping youth to see that they have skills that matter now and will continue to matter in the future. It's helping them to find moments of success in their day-to-day lives that translate into real skills that will be used throughout adolescence and into adulthood. Sadly, you may often hear young people lead with the phrase, "I can't do it." They have been told too many times, and they truly believe it, that they cannot do something. They may be too scared to try for fear of failing, or they don't even know how to get started. This belief that they truly cannot succeed is a sign that they are not developing mastery in future. And that should prompt us, as caring adults, to take action to break down that negative belief. So how do we do this? I'm going to share four strategies that you can use to help young people begin to believe that they are making it right where they are and that it will carry over to their future. Number one, point out small successes and wins. We should intentionally be seeking to find positive things young people are doing well. Yes, I've said this before, but that should indicate how important I believe this is. As a youth worker, our job is to help young people find their wins, even if it doesn't feel like a huge win. They turned in their homework on time. That's a win. They didn't yell at a peer when they got mad. That's a win. They were kind to their brother or sister. That's a win. And as young people start hearing that they are succeeding, that they're successful, even in these small ways, that helps to develop their sense of mastery and future. Number two, set small goals that are attainable. Oftentimes, we show young people where they need to get or what they need to do, and they see this end result or outcome desired. Our job is to help them figure out how to break all the steps down into smaller goals so that they can experience success along the way. I worked with a teen girl at a Job Corps center who was a mom to a one-year-old. She knew that she had to get her GED, she had to learn a trade at the Job Corps center, and she also had to learn and take parenting classes to help her be a better parent to her child. Those were three huge goals for her. Now, when we would meet one-on-one, I spent time helping her figure out how to balance that all. We set small goals. We stopped talking about needing to pass the GED because that seemed huge and really impossible to her. Instead, we talked about focusing on one area that she could study at a time. And each time she moved closer to her goal, she felt like she was making it in the present and that it was a part of her making it in the future. Number three, teach them to focus on the things that they can control. Things happen in life, and we need to teach young people how to master the skill of letting go and focusing on what they can control. Teachers change, assignments change, families change, friends change. The list goes on. Young people are in a constant state of flux. In these moments, they can get bogged down in being angry or frustrated that things are the way that they are. When we can help a young person to shift that energy and frustration to focusing on what they can control, we are investing in an important skill. And that skill ties to their perception that they're making it and that they're going to get through whatever the situation is. I always tell myself that forward progress, no matter how big or small, is still progress. This is an idea that we need to make sure that we're sharing with our young people. Baby steps matter in the overall goals that they're trying to accomplish. Small steps are as important as the big ones. And step number 4, create opportunities that are safe and have low consequences for failure. Let me first say, this is not meant to be just busy work to keep youth busy while you are working with them. It's a genuine opportunity that you are creating for them to learn and grow. The key here is that the opportunity has to be safe and the consequences have to be low for failure, or they most likely will not want to participate. And what I mean by a low consequence for failure is that their role cannot be too much that everything hinges upon it, or if they mess up that you're going to be angry at them and stop working with them. One way we make sure that this doesn't happen is that we're intentional and thoughtful and we give meaningful roles to young people that they are ready for. And then we walk alongside of them and we teach and train them as we go. I go back to that example with my daughter and Teens for Tots. If she was solely responsible for planning every detail of a fundraiser, that would have been a lot of pressure on her and pretty much a setup to fail. She needed to be taught basic things like how to make a call to request a donation, how to identify how much can be spent and how much needed to be earned, and how to schedule volunteers, and just all the details that went in planning a fundraiser. This group of young people were not tossed into the fire to figure it out as they went. No, they had a caring adult that was teaching them all along the way. Maybe you are noticing a pattern here with these developmental outcomes. So much of the development of young people hinges upon someone being willing to pour into them to make a difference in their life. And it all starts where that young person is. As a youth worker, we have to acknowledge that young people come with different skills, abilities, knowledge, experiences, and even fears. That's one of my favorite things about working with youth. They are all unique, just like God made them to be. And I love the challenge of figuring out how to connect with them and how to help them get what they need. Before we move on, I want to talk about what happens when young people don't develop mastery and future. For me, one of the things that was always hard for me to see is when a young person really had this doubt that they were making it, that they were successful right now, and that they could do anything, and that they wouldn't change that for the future. It was hard to watch, but I so often saw them experience this sense of hopelessness. They believed, if I can't do it today, I can't do it tomorrow. And it played out in many ways. I've seen young people withdraw from people, from activities that they were involved in. I've seen them isolate themselves. I've seen young people's self-worth be negatively impacted because they couldn't see themselves as a good person because they didn't see themselves as making it, as successful. And then they doubted that they would ever make a difference to somebody around them, that they could contribute to their community, to other people's lives. I've also seen this play out by young people really changing who they surrounded themselves with. They were drawn to others, oftentimes, who were experiencing the same thing. Maybe they found a group of peers who didn't really try or who discouraged anybody from actually participating in other activities, and it just helped to create this cycle of hopelessness. I've also seen this play out with young people being angry, acting out, being defiant. Whatever the outcome is for our young people, it's critical that they develop this sense of mastery and future. Because what happens is those negative things, those push young people further away from building healthy relationships that promote growth. And that pushes them further away from building a relationship with Jesus. My guess is you've also worked with young people who have the sense that they're not making it, that are lacking this mastery and future. My guess is that you know what that feels like and how that can be hard as a caring adult to watch. Let that push you to thinking strategic ways you can better engage young people. That is always running in the back of my mind. How could I connect better? How could I do something differently? What opportunity can I help a young person get access to that would make a difference in their life? Before we wrap up this episode, I do have a few more things I want to share about mastery and future. Now, if a young person feels that they are successful or that they can be successful, many times we will see them start to try even harder. And when we build relationships of trust with young people that help them to hear us, when we tell them that we know they can do it, they start to believe that as well. As a youth worker, we are also cheerleaders who help them to feel that they can be successful. Without this, they oftentimes will hear the naysayer or their own negative beliefs and messages about not succeeding. And young people need to be cheered on as they try new things and build new skills. It makes it a little less scary and seem a little more possible. And Mastery and Future is truly about the here and the now. We are helping young people to develop the sense of making it where they are at in this very moment. And then we can help them to realize that what they do now ties into their future. This wraps up our time today at the Youth Development Construction Site. Remember, young people need to develop a sense that they are making it. Some days, your biggest job may simply be pointing out how you see young people succeeding and what you see them doing well. We've quickly covered 3 of the 12 fundamental youth development outcomes during these past 3 episodes. I hope by now that you are seeing a value in understanding a positive youth development approach and specifically the developmental outcomes. When we have this knowledge, as a caring adult, we are able to be more intentional in how we build relationships with young people. And as we continue to talk about developmental outcomes in the next episodes, it's just going to give you more skills and a greater understanding in how to best work with young people. Speaking of the future episodes, next time, we are going to be right back here at this construction site talking about belonging and membership and why that matters to our young people. Hey there, fellow youth workers. Thanks for tuning in today. Remember what Matthew 9:37 tells us. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In other words, keep showing up and keep caring.